And the answer to that question is often complicated, but also people often have the wrong answers, as we'll see when we go through the book and see what his friends believed, and they were wrong. But we're given just a little glimpse of what might happen in heaven in our behalf as well, where Satan appeared before the Lord and accused Job of only serving God because God blessed him. And then we saw God give Satan permission to first take away his family and his living. And he continued to serve the Lord and be faithful and true, and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," in the midst of intense suffering. So then the Lord gave Satan permission to take away his health. And that's where we were last week. And the Bible says that he held fast his integrity in the midst of losing his health, losing his family, losing his living. From an earthly point of view, there wasn't much left. And we found him sitting in the ash pile, scraping the boils that were from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And that's when he said that the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And as we read there, he held fast his integrity. So, and at the end of verse 10, it says he did not sin with his lips. And that brings us to verse 11, where we finished last week. It says, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great." And after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it, let a cloud dwell upon it, let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it, let it not be joined unto the days of the year, let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary, let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none, neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together, they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sign cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." So I've just entitled the message, "Why?" Let's pray. Let us pray that you would guide us tonight as we open your word together, that the Holy Spirit would use it to teach us, Lord, to work in our hearts. Lord, may you work a miracle in our lives as we contemplate Job's situation, his response. And Lord, may it truly guide us as we face suffering and will face suffering. And so we are thankful and commit the service to you. Pray you'll meet with us and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we see tonight, Job was hurting. That's not surprising, is it? He lost his children, all of them in one day. He lost all of his living in one day, and then he lost his health. So he was hurting. And his supposed friends, I say that because as you'll see as we walk through the book, they weren't that good friends in the end. But his supposed friends came to mourn with him, and because of the boils that were all over his body, they didn't even recognize him sitting in the ash pile. And here we have a man who used to sit in the gates as one of the elders of the city, and now he's sitting in the pile of ashes scraping his boils. So his friends came to mourn and to weep with him. And then we see Job recognizing a couple of things. One thing you probably saw was he acknowledged that if he had died after he was born, he would have still been blessed. He would have been in heaven. And that teaches us a lot, that he believed something like that before the Old Testament was even written. Remember, that Job's the oldest book in the Bible. And if you go to Job 19, we'll see where Job understood some things about the future of man, about the eternality of man. Job chapter 19, verse 25, and we'll be looking at this again, of course, but it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What a statement of faith. He even believed that he would have a new body someday. He believed he would spend forever with the Lord. And here's a man that, again, didn't even have the Old Testament. So he had always been taught about God by word of mouth, down from Adam and so forth. But what we find here, primarily in chapter 2, is Job admitting he doesn't understand. So is that right or is that wrong? Well, when we get to the end of the book, God rebukes his friends, but he doesn't rebuke Job. And what I believe that's telling us is it's okay to be honest in prayer. And God doesn't want anything but honesty in prayer. And he's being honest. He says, "I don't understand." And you're going to see more of this honesty in the course of the chapters as he's responding to his friends. But to ask these questions, verses 11 and 12, "Why died I not from the womb?" Verse 12, "Why did the knees prevent me?" Why? He keeps saying, "Why?" Verse 23, "Why is the light given to a man whose way is hid?" He's saying, why am I here? Why have I lived my life up to now? I've got all these had all these children. I had all these riches. I had all of this influence and power in the city. And here I find myself with none of it now. So why? Why am I still alive? Why am I here? What's my purpose? So he's confused. But sometimes we're confused because we don't understand. Remember, God's ways are higher than our ways. And there are many things that we will not understand until we get to heaven and we can understand them. For example, if you go to Isaiah 55, God explains that his ways are higher than our ways. A lot of times people try to say that everything has to fit into man's logic system to be right. Classic example, the Jehovah's Witness try to tell us that there's no way Jesus could have been God, because otherwise he was praying to himself in the garden. And they probably tried that at your door. So what they're saying is it's not logical that Jesus could have been Jehovah for this reason. It's not about logic. It's about the truth. Does our infinite, all-powerful God have the ability to be three personalities and one God? Of course. He tells us that he is. Is it easy to explain to a child? No. Isaiah 55:8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What that means is we will never understand everything. We will never understand all of the Word, and we will never understand all of why things happen in our lives. And it's not necessarily a requirement that we understand. It is a requirement that we trust the Lord and that we be honest with him. And that's all Job's doing. He's being honest. He understood. If you go to verse 25 of chapter 3, he says, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me." and that which I was afraid of has come upon me. He realized that in a moment, everything can change. And it did for him. He didn't get to see what we saw in heaven. He didn't get to see Satan accuse him. He didn't get to see God put him forth as a man that feared God and eschewed evil. He didn't get to see all that. All he got to experience was all that he lost in such a short time. So did he understand it? No. Thankfully, he continued to worship God. He didn't lose his integrity, but he still didn't understand. And is that okay? Yes. It's okay because we see, again, that God never rebuked Job. Even though Job was honest about his pain and he was honest about not understanding, he said his whole life he feared something. It was probably the loss of his children, I'm guessing. He says, that which I feared is come upon me. We all have fears. And the Bible says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Is it possible that those fears could happen? Yes. God is sovereign. And God always knows what's best for our lives. He says in verse 26, I was in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. I served God. I was faithful the best I could be. I never cursed God. I even prayed for my children. I even helped, as you'll see as we go through the book, I even helped the poor that would come through town. We know that he was a good man because God said so. And he says, I did all these things and now look, I've lost everything from an earthly point of view. Is he confused? Yes. Is he hurting? Yes. Is it okay to be honest with God at times like that? I believe he's telling us yes. It's never wrong. It's never right to curse God. It's never right to get angry with God, but it's okay to be honest with God. And that's the point I think God's trying to make in these chapters. So I'd like us to look at a couple of scriptures on this from the lives of primarily David. So let's go to Psalm 13 and see that David understood, as did Job, that it's okay to be honest with God when we are hurting, when we're suffering, when we're confused. Because when we go to God in prayer, remember, God is our best friend. And we're having a conversation with our friend. We're not just there to read a list of requests. We're there to talk to our friend. And sometimes when we talk to our friends, we share our burdens and our hurts and our confusion. Notice Psalm 13, David said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel of my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. So David's being honest. This is probably written while he was being chased by Saul. And he says, Lord, how long? You told me I'm the chosen one. I'm going to be a king someday. How long is this going to be happening in my life? He was being honest, but I love his response in verse 5. He says, but I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I don't understand, and I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm not going to stop trusting and praising God. A lot like Job. I don't understand. I hurt, but I'm not going to stop trusting God. Psalm 17, another example. Verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Feigned means fake. In other words, when I come to God in prayer, I'm not going to say things that are not true. And I'm not going to say what I think God wants to hear. I'm just going to speak the truth. And that's what Job's doing, isn't it? He doesn't understand. He's saying, why? I hurt. I don't know why God's allowing this in my life. I'm not going to curse God and I'm not going to stop trusting God. But I will be honest with God. Those are different things, aren't they? David obviously understood this as well. Another one, Psalm 51, verse 6. And I just want us to get a hold of this, if nothing else, just this single truth that whenever we go to God in prayer, and we've been talking about prayer in our Sunday school, be honest. Just be honest. If you're doubting, if you're frustrated, if you're hurting, be honest. God's there, and He wants you to be honest. Psalm 51, verse 6 says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Why would we be anything but honest when God already knows anyway? If we are doubting, if we are frustrated, if we are hurting, if we are questioning, if we are asking why, and we come to God and act like those things aren't happening, He already knows our hearts. He already knows our thoughts. So why not be honest? And you'll see that Job, all through the book, is just honest with God. "Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why You allowed this in my life. I've served You. I've been a good person all my life." And he was. "And now look." And he didn't understand, but he didn't lie to God and say, "Oh, it's okay, God." He was honest and said, "I don't understand." Another one, Psalm 145, verse 18. And you'll see this is a fairly common theme when it comes to our time spent alone, as Jesus told us in Matthew 6, "Enter into thy closet." When we get alone with God, God wants us to be honest. Psalm 145, 18. "The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." In truth. Being honest. And what we have here is Job being honest. "I hurt. I hurt so bad. And I'm in so much pain right now, both physically and emotionally, that I almost wish that I hadn't been born." That's what he said, isn't it? That's a pretty powerful statement. But that's exactly what he said. Why didn't God just let me die out of the womb? Instead of letting me go through all of my life, doing all the right things, and then I lose everything. He doesn't know what's going to happen in chapter 42, does he? For all he knows, he gets to sit in the ash pile the rest of his life and scrape boils. That's he doesn't know. And so he's saying, "Lord, I hurt so much that I wish I wasn't even born." But he's being honest with God. He is not cursing God. He is not questioning God, but he's being honest about his hurt. And I believe that God is teaching us to do the same. Because there are trials coming. How do we know this? Look at Psalm 34:19. We know this because God is going to use trials in our lives to test and to grow and to refine us. That is a promise that we often don't get excited about, but it is still a promise. Psalm 34:19, the Bible says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Does that mean every single trial that we face will end someday? Well, it might end in going to heaven. Think about that. We're still delivered from the trial. We're still in heaven forever with the Lord in our mansion. That's pretty good. But all through the Scriptures, go to Psalm 119. All through the Scriptures, God teaches we will have trials. Verse 71. I didn't tell you where to go. The longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, look at verse 71. We will have trials. They often will be intense. We don't know how long they're going to last. But there are some things we do know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was Job. We're not to lose our integrity. That was Job. And we can trust, as he says in Job 23:10, "When they have tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Which is what David's saying here in Psalm 119, verse 71. "It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Verse 75. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." It's all about attitude, isn't it? It's all about trusting God no matter what, but at the same time being honest with God. So Job is teaching us a lot already. His friends are going to teach us a lot as well about how not to look at trials and to have the wrong perspective on trials, and we need that as well. Job had the right perspective, and that was this: I'm going to trust God, I'm going to bless God no matter what, but I'm also going to be honest with God. And if I'm hurting, God already knows I'm hurting, so why not tell Him I'm hurting? If I'm frustrated, God already knows I'm frustrated, why not tell Him I am? Rather than try to just make stuff up or imply that everything's okay when it isn't. God already knows our hearts. So Psalm 55:22, what does God tell us to do when the burdens come? And could there be a heavier burden than what Job went through? What's it say? Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. That's what Job's doing. He's casting his burden upon the Lord. It says, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:7 is the equivalent of that. In the New Testament, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, just give it to Him. And that's exactly what Job is doing. Lord, not only am I physically and emotionally in a lot of pain, but because of my humanity, I'm also trying to understand the why, and I'm also trying to reconcile where I am right now in my life and all that I've done with where I am right now, which is all that I've earned and done my whole life is gone. Think about that. I don't have any children left as a legacy. They're all gone. I don't have any wealth left to leave to my wife. I don't even have my health. So from an earthly perspective, what does he have left? All he has left is really his relationship with God. Because we already saw his wife's perspective, curse God and die. So I think if we can learn anything, it's okay to ask why. We may not get an answer directly, but it's okay to be honest with God. It's never okay to question or to curse God, but it's okay to be honest with God and say, I do not understand, because often we don't. And Job did not understand. He didn't understand until the end. And we may not understand until the end. We may not get a chapter 42. We may just get to go to heaven in the midst of an intense trial, and then we'll find out why. But we can always trust that God knows why. Amen? Because He tells us that He does. That all things do work together for good to them that love God. So I appreciate that God recorded this for us so that we can see that Job is human too. Even though he was a righteous man, God said so. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He was human. And it's okay to be human when we close that closet door and spend time with God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for